And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be talking about a very, very important subject, a serious topic. It's really about your very life and the life of your children and their children. I'm talking about the murder, the genocide of millions of white people. Now, you may say, what has that got to do with that? I mean, you can't be serious, Tex Mars. No one wants to genocide, that is to murder simply because of their race, the white people. Well, you know, this ministry stands for civil rights. We believe that all men are created equal. We believe that Jesus Christ said, whosoever will may come. So it doesn't matter what your race is, but there are people on this planet, and they are in charge. They are the leaders. They are the elite, and they are determined to wipe white people out. They want to kill every white person on this planet. I'm going to introduce you to a few of these people and their incredible ideology. They are in charge. They run our universities. I'm talking about the biggest universities in the world. University of Michigan, University of Southern California, University of Texas, University of Alabama, University of Florida, and so on. And they reside in Washington, D.C. They are our senators, our congressmen, our judges, even our Supreme Court judges. And they are bloodlusty, and they want to kill you if you're white. Now, I first read about this massive plan to destroy the white race when I read the Jewish Talmud. Now, some years ago, people told me about the Talmud, but I could scarcely believe it, so I wanted to read it for myself. If you've been part of this ministry for a long time, you know that I don't accept anything people tell me. I mean, I read the New York Times, the Washington Post, and all these books, and I see all these talking head experts on television, and I don't believe anything they say. I want to study it myself. I want to know. And then once I have discovered it, once I am satisfied that it is the truth, then I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you with a big, blaring, loud voice. And that's what I'm going to do today. And please, I want you to listen very closely, and I want you to order the tape or CD of this program and give it to your friends. You're going to see the truth today, and I'm not stopping at anything to tell you the truth. Millions of people are going to die, and very soon. This is the apocalypse coming. I recently wrote a book. You'll be hearing about it next week. I'm going to officially introduce it. Entitled The Destroyer. The Antichrist is at hand. A lot of people are talking about the Antichrist. The man with the number 666. What will be his ideology? What will he want? What is he going to do? You'll hear about it. You'll discover it. And it's astonishing. It makes shivers run up my back. And I've written this book. It's the only book in the world that will tell you the truth about the Antichrist. Now, Jesus told us the truth. Of course he did. Jesus told us the truth, and I've taken it from the Bible, but no one else wants you to know what the Bible says. They have covered up what the Bible actually says. It's not complex. It's not sophisticated. It is plain, simple language that Jesus Christ and the apostles used. And the prophets did before them. There's a clear line of prophetic truth going all the way from Genesis to Revelation that will tell you who the Antichrist is and what he's going to do. He is at hand. Now, I want to talk to you because people are just beginning to discover the broad outlines of what they have planned for you. Now, I read about this in the Talmud, and I couldn't believe it, but I kept reading it over and over and over. Then I got other Jewish books, the Kabbalah, and it was really there. This is the core of the Jewish religion, the Talmud and the Kabbalah, these two sets of books. And they have associates, they have accomplices, the Jews do. Not all the Jews, of course. Many Jews would be astounded to hear these things, but they need to listen to them. If you have a Jewish friend, get him to listen to this and prove you wrong. Because I'm going to name names today. Now, you know that the media is telling you, and by the way, a recent Gallup poll said that only 6% of the American people trusted the media. Only 6%. 94% do not. So when I tell you what the media says, you know they're a bunch of lying jackals and devils. So much so that even the American people don't trust them at all. But they tell you, and it's now at the university level, and your college kids are studying these things and being told these things. White privilege must be ended. That's the first thing they're being told. White privilege must be ended. You see, you're born with privilege because you're white. You're born with great privileges, and you need to have humility, and you need to apologize for your whiteness. And you need to step to the back of the bus and let others, you know, brown and black skin and so forth, get to the front of the bus. Now, I heard about this when I was teaching Air Force ROTC and at the University of Texas, and I discovered that the black students in ROTC all got scholarships, every single one of them. And a young African-American student, he got a full ROTC scholarship because he was black. Did he need it? No, he had plenty of money. His father was an army general. A general. But he was black, so he got a scholarship. I had whites that scored much higher on the test than he did and worked very hard, and they did not get the scholarship because, you see, they were white. That's the privilege you have. Now, I want to tell you something about privilege, my friends. I know about privilege. I had the privilege of being a young white child. I had the privilege of living in an apartment building where a railroad track ran down the street right in front of it, and the whole place would rattle and shake, and there were rats, and there were cockroaches everywhere. And at night, I would flick the cockroaches off of me while I was sleeping. And we didn't even have anything called air conditioning. And we didn't have any closets. We put nails on the wall and hung our jackets or whatever we had. There was a liquor store across the street. People coming in and out of the liquor store. And that's where I played every day, out in the street near the liquor stores and such as that. Downtown Beaumont, Texas. That's the kind of privilege I had as a kid. I was the first of six kids. I was the fifth in age, first to finish high school. The first four kids in my family all quit high school. They quit. I made it all the way through, and I went in the Air Force right out of high school. Why didn't I go to college? I didn't have any money to go to college. That was a dream, but I had a dream. And I kept that dream in my heart. And I started going to school nights. And I worked during the day in my Air Force job, and I went at nights. And eventually, I not only got a bachelor's degree, summa cum laude at that, 4.0 average, that's straight A, but I went on and got a master's degree at North Carolina State University. Who gave me that privilege? I earned it. I worked hard. And nobody gave me anything. I earned it. I'm happy for it. I appreciate it. I appreciate the Air Force letting me go to college. But they made me do my job during the day just like everybody else. I remember I would be studying till 3 or 4 in the morning, and then I'd sleep for 2 or 3 hours, and I'd get up and work another day. And then I'd go to college, and then I would over and over and over. I was so tired. I was so exhausted. You try to get a graduate degree, a master's degree, going to school evenings, going to school weekends, and doing your job, and doing a good job at that. That's the kind of privilege I'm used to. Listen, my friends, I recently went on a trip to Washington, D.C., and I drove through West Virginia, and I saw those little coal mine towns, and I saw the people there and living in those shanties and those shacks, and they were white, and they were poor, and they had no privilege. They say drugs are rampant in West Virginia and all those towns. And I went up to Ohio, and it was pitiful. It was pitiful. And the factories are all shut down, and the industry is gone, and we've given our jobs to overseas people. And the whites are hurting, and no one has privilege there. Now, there's some areas of the United States doing just fine. The high-tech areas seem to be doing just fine. But in those areas, it doesn't matter whether you're black or white. If you're educated, you're going to do okay. Listen, my friends, listen to me very carefully. There is no privilege to the person who will not work. To the person who doesn't produce, who doesn't care, there's no privilege. Oh, there is, on the other hand, to the races. A woman lived across the street from us here in Austin, and she was working for her doctorate degree. She had been married once. She was a blue-eyed blonde lady. She was divorced. Her husband's name, they were divorced, but his name was Gonzalez. He was Hispanic, Latino. She said, when I went to apply for my different degrees, I always put in my application that my name was Gonzalez because I'd been married to a Latino. And I always got approval. I saw all of the whites, though, they were all disapproved. They didn't get to go to college, but I did because I was Latino. A blue-eyed blonde Latino. Her name was Gonzalez. That was her husband's name, the previous husband. She kept it, though. Her son, she called him Gonzalez, too, because, after all, she wanted him to get scholarships and privilege. And he couldn't do it as a white kid, so she called him Gonzalez. And he got all those favors. You know, this is a crazy idea that white people must be suppressed. There's white privilege. Listen, friends, there is no privilege to the person who will not work for it. Well, there is, I guess, because blacks do have privilege. You say, Tex, that's not true. I know many poor blacks. I do, too, in the inner cities they are. Even out in the country, some are. But if they're willing to work hard, they're going to get favorite treatment. They're going to get affirmative action. They're going to get quotas. They're going to be accepted at all these colleges and universities. They're going to be turning down the white people but accepting the blacks. Why? Because the whites are always treated roughly and crudely. Because there is a reigning ideology among the elite in America, the elite who are run by the Jews. And that ideology says that white people are trash. White people deserve only death. White people are no good. Anything white must be suppressed. Anything white must end because white privilege must end. Now, I told you last week about the Portland, Oregon public schools. You see, there's an official there. Her name is Veronese Gutierrez. She's one of the principals of the Harvey Scott School in Northeast Portland. Now, she has ruled that white kids cannot bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to class to eat. She noticed that in their lunch packs, many of them had peanut butter and jam or jelly. She said that's racist because it's white. She said the Latinos had tacos and, you know, such as that. And she's been put in charge of the Portland Public Schools to make sure this is enforced. And any kid that brings a peanut butter and jam sandwich is sent home and punished. In her mind, racism is endemic among whites, and she's got to fight it. She's fighting racism by stopping peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. This woman is insane. But the Portland schools allow it. She's blind to her own racism. She's a racist against white people. She thinks she's doing good. All these people think they're doing just fine. Or consider Harvard professor Dr. Kamau Kambone. He believes the problem with the world today is there are too many whites. Now, he's a Harvard professor. He's been favored, hasn't he? He's got privilege. He says we've got to genocide whites to rectify the problem. How does a man still have his job? Harvard professor, Dr. Kamau Kambone. He says we're going to have to exterminate white people off the face of the planet. He's a professor at Harvard. He's an idiot and a monster. Boy, how about the leader of the new Black Panthers? His name, King Samir Shabazz. Yeah, King Shabazz. I mean, this is a guy that Obama would love and no doubt does. He placed a $10,000 bounty on Zimmerman's head. Remember Zimmerman? The guy that had a fight down in Florida with Trayvon Martin. Well, he was found innocent, but that's no good for Shabazz of the new Black Panthers. He said, I'll give anyone $10,000 if they'll bring me his head. Now, that's a threat against Zimmerman's life by this Shabazz. Bring me his head. Now, Shabazz was a guy. On election day in 2008, he threatened people with a billy club in North Philadelphia at the voting booths. He was outside the voting booths, you know, the voting precinct there in Philadelphia, with billy clubs, he and his pals. He's going to punish the whites who come to vote. He has a Kill Whitey tattoo, Shabazz does. He said, black people, and listen to this, we need to exterminate whites, skin them alive, pour acid on them, sick our pit bull dogs on them, smash their heads with rocks. If necessary, we even need to raid the nurseries to kill all the little children. Kill everything in sight, says Shabazz. Listen to what he says. He says, I would love nothing more than to come home with a cracker's head in my book bag. That's what he said on a Black Power radio show. And the people called in applauding it. Oh, you're a wonderful man. I love what you're saying. Yeah, we need to kill Whitey. Then he spoke to a street rally in Philadelphia. And all the blacks cheered. He said this. He said, quote, I hate white people, all of them. Every last ounce of a cracker, I hate him. You want freedom? You're going to have to kill some crackers. You're going to have to kill some of their babies. Friends, even that didn't get him arrested. I'm reading about him in American Free Press. Pete Papa Hercules did a great article on Shabazz. Wow. Now, this Dr. Kamau Kambone of Harvard University. Oh yeah, you want to send your kid to Harvard University? I mean, you're sending them to Murder Incorporated there. He says, this Kambone says, after much research, I find that the main problem in the world is white people. That's the main problem, he says. He proposed an urgent solution to the problem. He said, quote, we're going to have to exterminate white people off of the face of the planet. He was speaking at Howard University. Dr. Camo Cambone. Now, you would have thought that the people would have objected to that, the big audience he had there. You would have thought they would have said, this man's nutty. Well, you would have thought wrong because they applauded his statements. The audience applauded. And the media contributes to this, this genocidal viewpoints. I mean, folks, for some 25 years, black rappers have been saying these things in their songs. And the black kids listen, and now they're adults, and now they've all got twisted minds. Kill whitey all night, says the rap song. Snatch white devils up by the hair, then cut their heads off. Those are the lyrics of some of these songs. And white kids are listening to these lyrics. It's incredible. Now I'm going to give you some more. That's Shabazz and Cambone. You say, oh, well, Tex, you've chosen just two at random. Those, obviously, we don't agree with those. But obviously, they're just, you know, crazy. Most don't think like this at all. Wait just a minute. The media think like this. The media are the elite who think like this. Wait just a minute. I want to read you some of this stuff. Bill Maher, the TV host, he's a Jew, you know. Comedian. Yeah, he's really funny. Really funny. He says sometime in the distant future, brown people are going to have to breed their way to power in both Europe and America. Breed their way to power. He says Muslim populations are growing in countries like France and Holland. And I think we see where this Mexican thing is going in America. That's right, because they blank more. That's have sex. He used a crude word. That's right, because they blank more. The darker skinned people are going to rule the world. And white people, for your own self-preservation, you better get a start on being nice to them now. Better be nice. He's saying they'll kill you if you're not nice to them. Well, let's look at some of these people. Now, Barbara Spector, she's from Sweden. She's a big shot over in Europe. She's helping to bring all those migrants over, the Syrians and the Iraqis and the Iranians and so forth. She's founder of a group called Padilla. A Jewish group in Sweden. She says this. She says, I think there is a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not learned how to be multicultured. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of this new transformation. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They're now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. Göran Rosenberg, a Jewish author over in Europe, says, the future of European Jewry, the Jews, is dependent on our ability to shape a multicultural, pluralistic, and diverse society. That's what they want. They want a multicultural and a diverse society. Now, Yasmin Brown, over in Great Britain, she's one of the leaders, one of the Jewish leaders in Great Britain. She says, I can't stand white people. I want white guys to be the lost species in 100 years. She's white. She's Jewish. Here's what she said on the June 4th, 2006 edition of the TV show Dateline London. She said, we must change the way the white race thinks. They will no longer have privilege. They will not be second or third class. They will be fourth or fifth class. Ben Wattenberg, he's a Jewish author here in America. He says this. He says, the non-Europeanization of America is heartening news of an almost transcendental quality. Wow. He loves it. He loves the fact the Europeans are gone, are going to be gone soon. Stephanie Dries, she's a member of the German Social Democrat Party. She's a white Jewish lady. She says, the National Democrat Party, the NPD in Germany, their goal is to protect the existence and secure the biological German people. This goal is racist. It's backwards. If the German people live on, it will only lead to more fascism and racism. We must abolish the German people. Therefore, our goal as German Social Democrats and the goal of all democratic parties in Germany is to make the German people perish at any cost or method. The German people must be destroyed. Wow. That was Stephanie Dries. This is incredible. Now, Miriam Fain, she's editor of a magazine called The Australian Jewish Democrat, says, the strengthening of multicultural or diverse Australia, she's in Australia, is our most effective insurance policy against anti-Semitism. The day that Australia has a Chinese governor general, I would be very confident then of my freedom to live as a Jewish Australian. She wants a Chinese to be the governor general in Australia. Wow. Now, Earl Rabb, executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council in the United States, says the Census Bureau has just reported that about half the American population is non-white or non-European. We have tipped beyond the point where the whites will be able to prevail in this country. We Jews have been nourishing the American climate of opposition to ethnic bigotry for about half a century. The brown and black nature of our population tends to make it irreversible. Now, all of these people are white, aren't they? They're Jewish. They're white, aren't they? No, the Jews say, we're not white. We're not brown. We're not black. We are Jews. We're a special race. We're God's chosen people. We're not white. And we want the white people to perish, to be destroyed. We want multiculturalism. We want diversity. We want ethnic variety. We want the white people to disappear. They go along with Shabazz. They go along with the Harvard professor who says, got to kill these crackers. And they're in charge, friends. They're in charge of Europe. And I'm going to show you in a minute where Hillary Clinton is just like them. That's what she wants. Obama is just like them. Paul Ryan, McConnell, all of them, Democrats, Republicans, they want you dead. But, of course, they're going to continue on in their little white enclaves full of money, full of power. But you don't deserve any power. And they're going to take away your gun rights, first of all. They need to do that. Then they're going to kill you. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, I have just been writing my little fingers off. And God has been helping me. He's been inspiring me. I've got so many books. And they're just all projected. I mean, I've finished these books, and now they're in the process of being, you know, printed and get nice covers put on them. I'm going to publish a book every 2 months. Now, you know, in the last couple of months, I've put out books like, Holy Serpent of the Jews is my newest. Next month is going to be The Destroyer about the Antichrist. But you'll want to wait a week or two to order that. But let's talk today about Holy Serpent of the Jews. You know, the rabbis agree with me. They can't believe that a white person or any person who's not Jewish can figure out the Jewish religion. They say in their Talmud, you know, that they make it an outlaw, a crime, to even teach a non-Jew about the Talmud. That's a no-no. Because they don't want you to know about the Talmud. And they don't make it available to you. You can't go into a synagogue and say, can I borrow your Talmud book for a while? They'll say, well, are you Jew? No, we can't let you read our Talmud. Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus wants everybody to read the Holy Bible. Jesus said, we have done nothing in secret. But the Jews, oh yeah, they're duplicitous. They do things in secret. Oh yes. And their Talmud and their Kabbalah, they want to destroy. That's why I call the Antichrist the Destroyer. You know, the Bible talks about the Destroyer. It uses the term, the Hebrew term, Abaddon. You can read about Revelation 9. He comes up out of the pit. Abaddon. Wow. The Destroyer. And the Jews agree that their holy serpent is their Messiah. You know, a lot of people have said to me, well, the Jews are going to have their own Messiah. They're waiting for their Messiah. I thought they were waiting for a man. Some man. They hate Jesus, of course. They say he's a blasphemer. They say he was, well, I'm not going to tell you what all they say about him. It's horrible. It's horrible. But they say they're waiting for their Messiah, a man. He will not be Christ. He'll just be another man, a leader. But their true Messiah, capital T, is the Holy Serpent. They even have names for him, like Leviathan. Leviathan is our guide, our protector, our watchdog. He is our Messiah. He it is who will make us all gods on earth. He's coming soon. He's with us now. You see, in the Garden of Eden, the Jews say, Leviathan, the serpent, was there with Eve and with Adam. He caused them to eat the fruit that God had told them, don't eat from that tree. You will die if you eat from that tree. But the serpent says, did God really say that? You won't die. Eat from it. Now, we know that as the original sin. The original sin when they ate of that fruit. But the Jews say, no. It was not original sin. That was original blessing. A blessing. Because our serpent, our king, our Messiah, the one who will make us all deities, gods on earth, someday soon. And then you Gentiles will get it in the neck. Every one of you will die. You will be beheaded. Oh, those of you who give us all of your wealth, who agree to be our servants, our slaves. We will allow you to live, but you'll have to be our slave. But the rest of the Gentiles, anyone who worships Jesus Christ, that will be an idol worshiper, and you will die. We're going to set up the guillotines and cut off your heads. Friends, I'm not saying these things. The Jewish rabbis are saying them. I couldn't believe it. When I actually read their Talmud, when I read their Kabbalah, when I found out what they really believed, they agree with Jesus. You see, Jesus said, your religion is man-made. Your religion is of man-made tradition. It's not the Old Testament, Jesus said. They said, we're of Abraham. He said, no, you're not. If you were of Abraham, you would worship me. You would believe me. No, you're of your father, the devil. The devil. And your God then is Satan, the holy serpent. Jesus said, the religious Jews were serpents. He said, they're vipers. You can read about it, Matthew 12, Matthew 23. You know, when I read that in the Bible, I said, well, Jesus didn't really mean that. He was just, you know, spouting off. Spouting off? Forgive me, Lord. You meant it. It wasn't just hyperbole. You weren't just, you know, it's not like you get angry at somebody and call them a serpent or call them a snake. No, no, no. Jesus doesn't get mad at people like that. No, no. You don't think that Jesus would do that, do you? He uses his words very carefully. They have meaning. They're powerful words. And when he called people serpents and vipers, he meant it. And he knew what he was talking about. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Said Jesus. How can you escape the damnation of hell? John the Baptist was baptizing, and the Jewish rabbis and the other Pharisees came to see him. They wanted to be baptized too. They wanted to say, yes, I was baptized by John. But he said, who are you to be baptized? He recognized who they were. Who has told you to flee from the judgment to come? He saw them as fakes. He said, hypocrites! He sent them running. He didn't baptize them. But when Jesus came, that man, that Lord and Savior, John baptized. You can read about it in the Bible. Jesus baptized and the dove alighted. The dove came down from heaven. A sign. The rabbis agree with Jesus. Their God is the holy serpent. And I've written an entire book entitled The Holy Serpent of the Jews. It's the first book ever. It's the first book ever to tell you who the true deity, the true Messiah is of the Jews. And by the way, I quote not only Jesus, I quote not only the prophets and the apostles, and I believe every word they said. Don't you, friends? Don't tell me you don't believe them. I pray that you will believe them. And here's the interesting thing. What they said, the Jewish rabbis agree with. We are the serpent. We're the people of the serpent. Our Messiah is the serpent. Goodness gracious. Read all the, I give you the names of the rabbis. I don't spare them. I don't try to hide. I give you their names. They can't hide anymore. This book is dynamite because it gives you the name of the rabbis. They're angry at me. No doubt they would like to kill me. Well, maybe they will. If Jesus says they can. He's going to take me to be with him anyway someday. I don't worry about anybody killing me. Say, Tex, you want to die? No, I don't want to die, but Jesus will take care of me. That's why I wrote this book. People say, Tex, you're crazy to write a book like that. Who has ever written a book like that? No one has ever written a book like this, but I'm only copying, and you can't copy anybody better than this. I wish I could be an exact copy, but I'm only a very rough, crude copy of Jesus and the apostles and the prophets. Holy Serpent of the Jews. $20, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. As for Holy Serpent of the Jews, we'll send it right out to you. An amazing book. It's going to change your life. Give it to your friends. Give it to your pastor. Give it to everybody you know. Order a dozen copies. I'm begging you. We don't make any money on these books in the ministry. I promise you that. You check with us. Ask us how much money we made last year. If you think we made a lot of money, you're going to be wrong. But we made enough to stay in business. We're still here, and we're going to keep up the hard work because we believe in what Jesus said. I believe in what these rabbis even said. Their God is the devil. Their Messiah is the holy serpent. They're right. But what are you going to do about it as a Christian? Are you going to continue to say the Jews are God's chosen people? The Jews are lovely people. They're pious. They're humanitarians. Are you going to face up to the truth? That's the question. Now, here's how to get your book. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, or just to textmars.com. Order your book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. $25 total. Please, get this book. If it's not everything I tell you, I'll give you your money back. Send me the book back. I'll give you your money back. No problem. I'll even pay your postage. Whatever. Don't worry. But you're not going to send it back. You know why? Because you want the truth. That's why you listen to this program. And I thank God for each of you. We've got a Jerry's over here at the radio the table taking care of today's program. Our audience wants the truth. They're truth tellers. We've got the best audience in the world. They're truth tellers. They're amazing people. They're not going to put any guff out. They would not allow Tex Mars to publish junk. They wouldn't do it. They'd leave this ministry first, and I'm glad of that. Folks, keep my feet to the fire. I love it. That's what Jesus does. He keeps my feet to the fire. I love it. All right. Now, go to our website, powerprophecy.com. Or you can phone us, 1-800-234-9673. Or write to us, send us $25. Say, I want that book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. Just say the serpent book. We'll know what you're talking about. Our address here is 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. All right, let's go to our regular program now. Listen to what some of these people are saying, folks. Listen to what Dr. Noel Ignatieff, I don't even know what university he's with. He's just nuts. You know, I've lost all track of all these universities. It's Yale, it's Princeton, it's Cornell. They're all crazies. But listen to what he says. He says, the key to solve, this is Dr. Noel Ignatieff, the key to solving the social problems of our age is to abolish the white race. Hey, that's it, folks. We wouldn't have any more problems at all if you just abolished the white race. They're the ones bringing all the problems in the world. I mean, the Africans brought loveliness, didn't they? Oh, yes, the tribes of Africa, they enslaved each other as slaves. They killed each other. They're still killing each other over in Africa. But it's the white race that has to be abolished, says Dr. Noel Ignatieff. He's Jewish, of course. Now, General Wesley Clark, 4-star general, Army, retired now. He commanded the American troops in the Kosovo War of Yugoslavia, killed a bunch of civilians over there. Did a good job, Wesley Clark. He says this, there is no place in modern Europe or America for ethnically pure states. Wow. No Germans, no Spanish, no French, no English. That is a 19th century idea, he says, and we're trying to transition into the 21st century. And we're going to do it with multi-ethnic states. That's their plan. We. Who's we, white man, as they say? Wesley Clark is Jewish. We are going to do it with multi-ethnic states. Now think about this. When you hear words like these, get this now. Multiculturalism, racial diversity, ethnic diversity, cultural pluralism, white genocide, migration, borderless worlds, planetary consciousness, one worldism, of course, the United Nations, and an end to any white nation. Now, a white nation cannot be allowed. That's why they're bringing in millions, millions of Muslims, from the Middle East. That's why they're bombing and killing all the Muslims in the Middle East. Because Israel says we've got to kill them. We've got to massacre them. And they'll want to leave. We've got to make them want to leave. They don't want to leave their homes. We got to force them out. And where are we going to send them to? Well, we'll get countries like Turkey to wrap them up and send them over to Europe. Send them to the United States. And Hillary says we need 550% more Syrians. That's what she says. We need more Syrians, Iraqis. We need more Turks. We need more all these other people from all over the world. We need to get rid of our whites, and the only way to do that is to bring in the browns and the blacks. We need to open up Africa. I understand there's 500,000 people from, that's an incredible number because it didn't have a big population in the first place, from Libya. You see, Libya is a boiling mess of hell right now. Hillary killed Gaddafi. Gaddafi was a dictator, but he was giving everything to the people. Hey, you got a free college education if you were from Libya. But now they're getting nothing. They get killed. It's murderers over there, but they all want to leave the country now. And they all want to come to America, and there's hundreds of thousands pouring across the border, and they've told the guards, don't try to stop them. If you stop them, we will punish you. Border guards, don't stop these people. Let them come. Why are they coming? They say, well, Obama told us to come. Obama told us to come. And Hillary told us to come. Robin Morgan is a feminist here in the United States. Yeah, that's right. She's with the feminist movement, same as Hillary. She's radical. Listen to what she says. She said, quote, my white skin disgusts me. My passport disgusts me. They are the marks of an insufferable privilege bought at the price of others' agony. If I could peel myself inside out, I would be glad. If I could become part of the oppressed, I would be free. Really? Listen to what Rabbi Ishmael Levitt says. He says, it is in the Jewish interest that whites experience a genocide. Do you get that, friends? It's in the Jewish interest that whites experience a genocide. See, he's not white. He says, I'm Jewish. I'm of a special, unique race. But I hate the white people. Obviously, he hates us. He says, until white children are burned alive, white women raped, mutilated, murdered, and all white men who have not been slaughtered watch powerlessly as their people are terrorized, only then will mankind be on a more equal footing, ready to discuss white privilege. Wow. See, you don't understand. You have white privilege. So what they need to do is rape you, murder you, burn you alive, so you'll have to, you can understand how much white privilege you have. Friends, these people are insane. They're insane. At Binghamton University, up in the East Coast, recently they had an event. The title of their class, like, listen, go to college. This is what they're going to teach you now. You know, you in the old days, you learn calculus, you learn math, you learn history. But now they got courses like this one. Stop White People. It's the name of the course at Binghamton. It says, the premise of this course is to help others take the next step in understanding diversity, privilege, and the society we function within. Learning about these topics is a good first step. But when encountered with good arguments from uneducated people, how do you respond? This open discussion course will give attendees the tool to do so and hopefully expand on what they may already know. See, you'll learn how to stop white people. That's what they're teaching kids at Binghamton. That's great, isn't it? Sure it is. Of course. What a relief to know there's courses like Stop White People. And you know, you're paying from your taxes for these universities. I'm paying for University of Texas. I used to teach there. But now they have trash courses. Hillary says white people, white Americans need to do a better job. In fact, Tim Kaine, the vice presidential nominee of the Democrats, says maybe white people need to be discriminated against for some years so we can understand our white privilege. He's an idiot. But anyway. Now, at the 107th NAACP convention in Cincinnati, Democrat presidential nominee Hillary Clinton said this. She said, "White Americans need to recognize our privilege. We need to practice humility. We white Americans need to do a better job of listening when African Americans talk about the seen and unseen barriers you face every day. We need to recognize our privilege and practice humility." Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The Democrats are crazy. But Paul Ryan agrees with it. Paul Ryan wants this too. They all want this, the white elites. But Paul Ryan lives in a mansion. He lives in a mansion. He's got a big wall around it. That's where these white people live. They've got mansions. They've got walls around them. They send their kids to special schools. They don't want privilege for blacks at their school. Oh, no. This is the battle cry of the globalist elite. Suppress the white people. Now, folks, listen to me. This is teaching the African Americans to hate. This is wrong. Teaching anyone to hate is wrong. Now listen, friends. If you have privilege as a white man, as a black man, as a Latino, as a Chinese person, good for you. Good for you. So many people of your race, that's right, of your race, have not had privilege. Now, next week, I'm going to talk to you about a book that I read this past few days. And I'll tell you, I cried when I read this book. It's by Michael Hoffman. It's entitled, "They Were White and They Were Slaves." That's the title of this book. I said next week. I'm sorry. I meant 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. The first weekend in October. I'm going to talk about "They Were White and They Were Slave." You see, a lot of people think that only the blacks were slaves, but there were white people. They were brought to America, and there were hundreds of thousands of kids and adults, and they were raped, tortured, murdered, and they were slaves. They were white, and they were slaves. I'll tell you, Michael Hoffman's done a fabulous job with this book. When a black person says, "My ancestors were slaves," you need to say, "Well, mine were too. Mine were too." Scottish people, Irish people, English people, German people were slaves. People don't realize these things. They don't know how many white people were slaves. Friends, even Christians enslaved white people. This is wrong. This is wrong. They were white and they were slaves. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed at these people that are preaching hatred for any race. Preaching hatred. If you're an African American and you're proud of your race, well, good for you. Good for you. If you're white, if you're Jewish, you're proud for your race, good for you. But if you believe that you're superior, if you believe you're a God person because of your race, you're in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble. If you treat another man, another woman, as an inferior because of their race, and simply because of their race and because of your race, you're wrong. And God will take care of you eventually. But on this program, in this century, in this year, we're going to tell you about it. We're going to tell you Jesus died on the cross for every person. Every person. He died on the cross for every man
every woman, every child. We just can't have this. We will not tolerate this. Christians will not tolerate racism by anyone. Mr. Shabazz, all of these horrible people, your day is coming. Judgment day is coming for you. Believe me. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah. You know, I was recently reading an article by my good friend Ted Pike. It's entitled The Kabbalah Blueprint for Gentile Genocide. We know about the Talmud, of course. It says that non-Jews are animals. They're the goyim. They're like cattle. But in a very interesting article, Ted Pike revealed that the Kabbalah goes much further and blatantly calls for Gentile genocide. It's the root of violence in the Middle East. And, you know, you have to understand something. The teachings of the Kabbalah have been very carefully concealed from the multitude, from the multitude of people. And in fact, they weren't even revealed to Jewish scholars until the Middle Ages. And recently in the 20th century, and of course in the 21st. And the Kabbalah says, if you take the life of a Gentile, you please God. If you take the life of a Gentile, you please God. Isn't that the most horrible thing that you can imagine? Now, they believe we're creeping things. We're like the cattle of the field. And they believe that they are the gods of the universe. They're going to wipe us off the face of the earth. They like to do it now. But if not, well, when their Messiah, the Holy Serpent, comes, that's when they'll do it. They call us in their Talmud by the name Amalek. Amalek is a special name in the Bible, but read about it in their Talmud. They say all the people of Amalek, that's all the people of earth who are Gentiles, will be exterminated. These people are idolaters. It has been written about them, let them be wiped off the face of the earth. I've just read it to you. I've just read it to you. That's from the Zohar, a book of the Kabbalah. Friends, there is no Ku Klux Klan person in the United States that uses such hideous language as the Jews do in their Zohar, which is a holy book to them. Think about it. Let them be wiped off the face of the earth. Even the Ku Klux Klan was not this cruel, this deadly. That's why the Jews hate white privilege. They want to be number one. They can only be number one if there are no white people left on earth, or if the only white people left are their slaves. That's their philosophy. That's their religion. Jesus Christ, forgive them. I'm Tex Mars, friends. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy today, and my wish, my hope is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.